those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Word of God is that by which we are born again. That which God uses to, by the Spirit of God, that we might be born again, that we might be saved, that we might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I suppose it is quite possible that there are here this afternoon those who still do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We find that for those who belong to Christ, all the wisdom, all the direction that you will ever need is found in the Word of God. But the first step, dear young people, is to come to Christ and be saved. You heard the gospel preached here last night. What was your reaction to it? Did you have a reaction to it? When you heard the Lord Jesus pointed to as the Savior of sinners, could you acknowledge thankfully, "Thank God Jesus is mine. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have put my trust in Him. I know Him as the one who has paid for all my sins at Calvary." Or did you find it was simply another hour to go through until you might be at liberty, until you might be able to be taken up again with those things that please delight you? Dear young people, can I say, in love to your soul, be sure you belong to Christ. Make sure of this now while you're young. Don't put off till tomorrow or next week something that might be for you eternal loss, to fail now in the day of God's grace to accept Christ as your Savior. And this is something, dear young people, that involves the heart. Not simply a head knowledge, not simply a matter of saying, "Well, yes, I believe in Jesus." You know, sometimes we ask somebody, I don't do it very often, but sometimes I might say to someone, "Are you saved?" And sometimes the answer comes back, "Oh, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved." And you know, dear young people, it happened to me just recently. And just the way the answer was given, I went away afterwards with a heavy heart. I felt that the words were right, but the heart was not engaged at all. It isn't enough just to say, "Oh yes, I'm saved." You must come as a guilty sinner and receive for yourself the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Know Him by faith as the one who has redeemed you to God by His precious blood. And then you find that God by His Spirit gives you a new life and a new nature that enables you to delight in the things of God. Well, the Word of God here starts out with this effect, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting, or perhaps a better translation is restoring, the soul. And you know, dear young people, we have in our hands the perfect Word of God that we need every day to keep us going on for the Lord Jesus here. Someone mentioned this morning during the reading meeting the need to have the Word of God as food for our souls every day. Do you find, dear young people, do you find that your heart is not finding the same delight in the Lord as you used to know? Do you find that the pathway, because it has become more difficult, because perhaps there have been more problems, more difficulties, perhaps problems in the assembly, and the result is the heart gets discouraged. The heart gets discouraged, and you start to find that the feet start to follow the heart in drifting away. Well, what's the answer? Why, beloved young people, the Word of God is the answer. To go to the Word of God, to find that the law of the Lord is perfect, and it's that which restores the soul. That which the Spirit of God uses as food for our souls, that we might be restored, that we might know again, afresh, that joy in the Lord, that rejoicing in His wondrous love and grace that we knew first when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, it's a perfect book, and God uses it to restore the soul. Then the next thing we notice is the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, beloved young people, if there was ever a time when we wanted that which was sure, it's today. This world is full of all kinds of voices, all kinds of direction, and men running in every direction, trying to find some kind of answer. Well, is it possible, beloved young people, is it possible to be sure of what is pleasing to the Lord? We sometimes hear those who are truly children of God say, you can't know today. You have to sort of take your chances, do that which seems best. We can't be sure. Dear young people, that's not true. You can be sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Oh, who is it? Is there something, beloved young people, something about my pathway, something about some step, and I'm not sure what the answer is, and I've been looking to the Lord for wisdom about it. Perhaps you've been looking to the Lord for wisdom about it, and you don't know what the right step is yet. Well, dear young people, let us be exercised about the verse that says, the part of the verse that says, making wise the simple. Are we ready to accept what God says? Are we ready to accept what the Word of God says? Be simple about the Word of God? Or do we find that the reason why we're not sure is because we're not being simple? In the language that the Word of God uses, perhaps we're trying to be lawyers instead of babes. God would have us to be babes. God would have us in that sense to be babes, not trying to reason our way around what the Word of God says, because that indeed leads to pathways that are not sure at all. But to be sure, I must be simple. I pick up this precious book with that attitude of heart, and I pray, God, it might be my own attitude, to pick up this precious book, the testimony of the Lord, with the simplicity that asks God to show me and ready to act upon what He shows me. Then I can be sure that testimony of the Lord is sure. And oh, beloved young people, in the midst of all the darkness that's in this world, you can be sure, absolutely sure, of what the pathway is of obedience to the Word of God by being simple and approaching the Word of God as that which is the unfailing standard for your pathway here. The statutes of the Lord are right, delighting the heart. Oh, to me this is so lovely to see, for it follows that the one who is simple goes to the Word of God and, as it were, says, Lord, what am I to do? And the Lord shows him from the Word of God and gives him a sure path for his walk, for his place, for his direction in this world. And then what is the answer? What is the reaction? Why, the reaction of the heart is, the statutes of the Lord are right, delighting the heart. Beloved young people, have you been asking the Lord concerning who the Lord would have you to have as a partner in life? Well, beloved young people, I can tell you, and I know many of my beloved brethren here would amen this, that those of us who have asked the Lord to make it very, very clear, that have gone to the Lord and asked the Lord to choose our partners for us, are happy, delighted to be able to say that His choice was right. That He made the right choice for us. We find here that when it becomes a question of first the simple, going to the Word of God for direction, then the next reaction of the heart, as it were, is to say, the statutes of the Lord are right, delighting the heart. Has the Lord shown you from the Word of God that what He would have you to do is to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you go in simplicity, asking the Lord to show you, to make sure for you, to give you a sure direction for your pathway here? Did you do that? And the Lord has gathered you to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does your heart now not acknowledge that the statutes of the Lord are right, delighting the heart? That which the Lord showed you from the Word of God was right. It was just the right path for you. And it has proven to be the delight of your heart. Beloved young people, if you and I would only be simple, going to the Lord in simplicity, we would find that He would indeed make the pathway sure to us. And He would indeed give us to know that that which He has shown us is right and the delight of our hearts. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Beloved young people, this is a day and an age where, as far as this world is concerned, there is seemingly becoming virtually nothing pure. Nothing pure. All around us we find only that which is becoming more and more corrupt. And you know, beloved young people, I say this to my own heart as well as to you, this attitude, this corruption that is in the world all around us can get into our own ways. It can get into our own conversation. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Beloved young people, when you talk together, when you meet together with other young people, do you talk about that which is pure? The stories that you tell, will they measure up? The commandment of the Lord is pure. Occupation with Christ and reading His precious word will make your conversation pure. But occupation with the things of this world, with its stories, with that which the world looks upon with favor, will only bring that which is impure into your thoughts and into your conversation. We find here that after we are told about the statutes of the Lord which are right and delight the heart, then we're reminded that that which has to do with God is pure. And beloved young people, the Lord Jesus would have you pure. He would have me. Keep thyself pure. That's the Word of God. And these tongues that so quickly pick up and distribute that which this world talks about. Oh, beloved young people, may we keep a guard over our lips and a guard over our thoughts. Occupation with that which is pure, the Word of God that occupies our hearts with things that are pure, will have its effect on our life and on our conversation. And you know, dear young people, I say this more in rebuke to myself than to anyone else. But you wouldn't have to talk to me for very long before you would know what my heart has been thinking about. You wouldn't have to talk with me very long before you'll know what my mind has been occupied with. Has it been with that which is pure? It'll reflect itself in my life and in my conversation. May the Lord give you and I grace to be so occupied with His precious word, with the person of Christ and His precious word, and that which is pure will be reflected in our life and in our conversation. The judgments, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now again, we find that in this world, there is a path. Beloved young people, we spoke this morning about this world being a wilderness, and it is indeed. And we know this scene, this whole world, to be a defiled place, and indeed it is. But the Lord can keep you and keep me walking in a clean path through a defiled scene. We can be kept. There is a clean path, beloved young people, where you and I can walk through this world. And where is that clean path? Why, it's walking in the fear of the Lord. You know, in meditating a little bit on this, it struck one that when we come to what we might call the ideas of men, the standards of men, they change very substantially from generation to generation. Things that were so frowned upon as considered unclean 25 years ago, 50 years ago, are now accepted as clean. They are now accepted as that which is a socially acceptable standard. We find it in the world's entertainment, in the world's literature. Things that would be appalling to a generation ago are now accepted. But, beloved young people, that which the Lord calls clean endures forever. The fear of the Lord is clean. And if you and I would only walk in the fear of the Lord, what does that mean? Why, it means, beloved young people, not a matter of terror, not a matter of being afraid, but having such a respect for God and His Word that we would not want to take one step that would not have the Lord's approval, that would not have His commendation, the fear of the Lord. To walk in that attitude, that fear that would say, I don't want to displease Him in thought or word or deed. Why, beloved young people, there, directed by the Word of God, walking in the fear of the Lord, you walk in a clean path. And that fear of the Lord, that standard, endures forever. No change. The same standard that was acceptable in a pathway that was in the fear of the Lord 25 years ago is the same standard today. Then we find, it says, the judgments of the Lord are true, or truth, and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true, or truth, and righteous altogether. Beloved young people, the Word, thy Word, is truth. God has one set of standards, if I could use that term for us, the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is the pattern for our life here, and there is only one book that God has given to us that He would have us to act upon for direction for our life here. And that is the Word of God. And beloved young people, I suggest to you that this is becoming perhaps increasingly more important to us. Perhaps I should better say that which needs to be emphasized more. Because there is such a danger today as to going by that which seems right. Some of us last night with the young people at the hymn sing were noticing how in the case of Saul, he was given specific instruction to destroy all the Amalekites, but he didn't. He did what seemed right. He even had a good excuse, but it was disobedience to the Word of God. In the case of Moses, we find that the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, and instead he struck it twice, but the water came out. And so you might look at that account and say, well, I guess the Lord wasn't really so displeased with it after all the water came out. The people got the blessing, but it cost Moses the land. It cost Moses the land of Canaan. He lost out to enter the land of Canaan for that act of disobedience. And beloved young people, if we look around and go by that which seems to be acceptable, we'll be led astray. If we look around and decide, well, there seems to be blessing there, I guess it must have the Lord's approval, we can be led astray. If we look for that which seems to put on a great display and go by that, we can be led astray. The judgments of the Lord are truth, The Lord has only one standard for us, and that is the Word of God. And beloved young people, I cannot conceive any more than you can, standing at the judgment seat of Christ and hearing the Lord Jesus say, I know you acted in disobedience to the Word of God, but I'm going to overlook that because of the blessing that resulted. No, beloved young people, it cannot be. The judgments of the Lord are truth and righteous altogether. And only that which is in accordance with the Word of God is acceptable with Him. Oh, beloved young people, God may bless because He delights to bless. The water would come out for the children of Israel because God loved the people of Israel. But the fact remains that Moses was held responsible to act in obedience. And God didn't vary His judgment as to the disobedience of Moses. No, it remained true. When it came many centuries later for the book of the Psalms to be written, it still says, He spake inadvisedly with His lips. He did that which was wrong. And God's judgments hadn't changed, even though years had gone by. The verdict was still the same. It was disobedience. Beloved young people, the Lord wants us to be happy. He wants us to be fruitful. But He's not going to change the truth. He's not going to change the truth to accommodate you or accommodate me. His judgments are truth and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Well, again, this has searched one's own heart. More to be desired. Dear young people, do you want to know the will of God for your life? Is it more important to you to know the will of God for your life and for your pathway than gold, than anything that material things in this world? More to be desired? Is that your verdict? Oh, I pray God that it might be mine. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I don't want to try to insist on any particular meaning for this, but I would like you to know what it has meant to my own soul. We find, beloved young people, first of all, God speaks of gold, then of much fine gold. And it seemed to my own soul as if the Lord was saying to me, do you want to know the will of God for your life, for your pathway, more than material things, even the finer things of life? Oh, you say, I haven't really set my desires on making a great deal of money, but I would really like to have a fine home. I really would like to have a nice car. I really would like to have some of those finer things of life. That doesn't necessarily follow that I want to be rich. Beloved young people, God would have us to want to know His will, to be simple, ready to act on His precious word, to be subject to it more than gold, even more than fine gold. But then what about the rest of it? It says, sweeter also than honey. Sweeter also than honey. Oh, beloved young people, honey speaks of the things of nature, the sweetness of nature. And God does give us much of the sweetness of nature to enjoy. He gives us those family relationships that are such a blessing to us, and we can enjoy them, and rightfully so. But, beloved young people, do you want to know the will of God for your life more than that? More than family relationships? Would you just keep your finger here for a moment, will you, and turn over to the 45th Psalm. Psalm 45 and verse 9. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Oh, beloved young people, and for my own heart, how I covet this, to desire to know his will, to walk in the pathway of obedience to his precious word more than any sweetness of nature, more than my own family, but to have this desire more than anything else, to walk to please God in this world. We find here, it says, the sweeter than the honey, than honey. And then it says, and the honeycomb, and the honeycomb. Oh, again, that struck one. Sweeter than honey, and what about the very setting of those things? Oh, you say, I want to please the Lord. I really want to please the Lord, but if I do, it's going to cause trouble. It's going to cause trouble in my family. It's going to cause trouble with my friends. In this particular setting, in the honeycomb where I'm set, it's going to cause real difficulty, real problems if I want to please the Lord. If I'm going to act on what this word says, I'm going to have all sorts of problems in my honeycomb. Well, beloved young people, do we want that more than honey and the honeycomb? Who, the 11th verse, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Beloved young people, again, here in this precious word, God, in love to your soul and mine, has given us faithful warnings. I remember a dear sister back east many years ago now, and that dear beloved sister, she decided to marry a man who was not the Lord's. And she was warned faithfully by many brethren. One dear old brother who's with the Lord now went to her home and pleaded with her not to act in disobedience to the Word of God. And she acknowledged that she knew that the Word of God said she shouldn't, but she was going to anyway. Well, that dear sister today, she has been left with a young family to raise. She has had a life of sorrow and heartache and pain. Why? Because she would not listen to the Word of God. She would not listen when God warned in love to her soul. He warned her from the Word of God that it was a path of disobedience. And today she lives amidst the consequences of that act of disobedience. We find it goes on to say, in keeping of them, there is great reward. Oh, beloved young people, how the Lord wants to reward you. At the judgment seat of Christ, everything that has been done according to the mind of God and the Word of God will be rewarded. You will find there that nothing has been forgotten. In the keeping of them, there is great reward at the judgment seat of Christ. But you will also find that there is great reward here and now. Great reward for your soul, for your life here. A pathway of obedience to His Word. In the keeping of them, there is great reward. Now our time is just about gone. I would just like to add a few comments in connection with these last few verses. Who can understand his errors? Beloved young people, how am I going to know what is wrong with my life? That which is in my life that is displeasing to the Lord, by reading the Word of God. By reading the Word of God, by sitting under the ministry of the Word of God, by listening to the Word of God, the law of the Lord is perfect. And here is all the instruction that I need. Who can understand his errors? How can I know that that which I've been going on with is wrong? By reading the Word of God. And finding there the wisdom that the Spirit of God brings to my soul from His precious Word. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Oh, even those things that I don't realize are wrong at all. Those things that are hidden. Hidden perhaps even from myself. Certainly hidden from my brethren. How am I going to cleanse those? Why, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And things that we didn't even know were wrong. Reading this precious word, the Word of God, the law of the Lord that's perfect. He cleanses me from those secret faults. Then it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Well, dear young people, the Lord has answered that prayer. If you belong to Christ, sin does not have dominion over you. And I say this again to my own heart more than anyone's. If I sin against the Lord, it is not ever because I couldn't help it. Sin no longer has dominion. We have been delivered through the death of Christ from the dominion of sin. No longer is sin in dominion, in control. If I sin, it's because I want to. It's because I want to. Oh, beloved young people, may that search your heart and mind. We have been delivered from sin's dominion. Presumptuous sin. That's the sin that says, I know what the Word of God says, but I'm going to go my own way anyway. The pathway of self-will. And you notice it says, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. To my own soul, that simply means this. If I start acting in self-will in the little things, deciding for myself what is good for me, even though I know the Word of God condemns it, it's going to lead to further transgression. It's going to lead to even great transgressions. And when you see a dear brother or sister, if you see me fail terribly and dishonor the Lord, beloved young people, you can be sure that the pathway didn't start there. It started back far further with acts of self-will, of independence, refusing to bow to the precious Word of God. Lastly, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. How are the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart going to be acceptable in thy sight? What is acceptable? Oh, beloved young people, it's what is in the Word of God. That which is in accordance with the Word of God. If the Word of God condemns it, it's not acceptable in the sight of God. It's not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. If the things that I speak about, the Word of God condemns, they're not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Oh, that the Lord would keep us, beloved young people, and that you and I might pray indeed each day through His grace. It says, my strength and my Redeemer, through the One who has redeemed us to Himself at such an infinite cost, and who is indeed our only source of strength, may He keep us so that the words of our lips and the meditations of our heart might be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, beloved young people, if only we would speak and think with the conscious sense that we are in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and mind.